Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, your host, and I am here with Rob Bowers, who is the Chief Claims Officer at Westfield Insurance. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And you've got some big news to share, right?
Do you mean that I just had a grandbaby a few weeks ago?
Congratulations. That's awesome. First one? Or?
No, number three.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is great. So it sounds like you're going to have maybe some more time to spend with your grandbaby.
I will. Yeah. Yeah. I plan to retire a little later this year.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be great though.
Yeah.
So spend time with the
After
grandkids.
39 years in the industry, it's been a phenomenal ride.
Wow. Yeah. So you've been in here for a long time. So you started even before I started, which means you probably started for the company car.
Is that, What's that?
You probably started for the company car.
You know, interestingly, my first job did not come with a company car.
Really?
I was in an experimental group for inside claims adjusters, which is kind of funny now because
Oh, wow.
We do a lot of things inside. In fact,
right.
My official title was telephone claim reps, which made it kind of sound like I was handling selling magazines for Time
Right.
Magazine or something. But so my first job for the first year and a half was doing claims from the desk. And this is back in the 1987. And the promotional scheme at that point was you'd start out at inside and then go up for some training. If you made it, I think I went up for some training about a year after I started, and a field position opened up shortly thereafter. And I finally got that coveted company car.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So has your whole career been with Westfield?
No, I started with Hartford Insurance
Okay.
Right out of college back in 1987. Was there
Okay.
for about 9 years and
Okay.
Been with Westfield ever since. About
Okay.
just had my 30th anniversary with them about a month and a half ago.
Wow. So things have changed.
They've changed
I mean,
dramatically.
so what do you think? I mean, compared to I started in 1989, right? So similar time.
Yeah.
And I think of like how things have changed over the years. I mean, what do you think the biggest changes have been?
Well, you know, when I started handling claims, we did not have a claims management system.
Right.
We had everything was, you know, all of our work product notes were written on logs.
Yep.
We got our claims assignments handwritten.
Yeah.
You know, and the way I trained was, I think I had a week of reading Donaldson's claims Bible, and then we just started handling claims, and my supervisor would write what I needed to do on the bottom of the sheet. I get the claim and just start plugging away, and you know, you'd peer over the cubicle and ask questions,
Right.
and that's how you learned. And I would say everything about the claims handling process has changed,
Right.
but ironically, the claims themselves have not changed, right?
Yeah.
People are still getting in auto accidents. People are still slipping and fall.
Yep.
We're still having catastrophe losses. So, you know, people are still having moments where we can provide them with exceptional service. But the way we've handled the claims and the way we get from point A to point B is completely different than it used to be, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We have claims management systems, we have technology, we have the ability to task out things via drone or satellite imagery or video or, CCTV. I mean, anything that you can think of in between has helped us with all aspects of the claims handling process, hopefully to get it faster
Right.
and better. And help serve our clients more, hopefully more efficient for the for the claims handlers as well. But with that has come a lot more requirements, data requirements,
Yes.
Service requirements. Expectations are much different than they than they used to be, right? If we didn't call somebody for a day back when I started, that was considered still pretty good service.
Right.
Now, if you don't call somebody within 2 minutes of them reporting the claim,
Exactly.
they're getting upset, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of that Amazon mindset where we've placed the order and we expect it to be dropped off 3 seconds later.
Right.
And if that truck's not up our driveway, we're starting to wonder what happened. So, the expectations have gotten higher, but we're matching that with the technologies and things that we're utilizing. So.
Yeah, I think it, you think back to the days of, Polaroids and dictaphones. I mean, it got the job done, but I mean, it was a very, very different claims model, right? Today, a lot of it is inside, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, funny you started as an inside adjuster because now so much of everything is inside and a
Right.
lot of it's remote. A lot of companies are remote. I don't know. Are you guys back in office
Uh,
or?
we're uh, largely remote.
Okay.
So probably about 85% of our staff is remote all across the country.
Yeah.
We've got people in that work for us in many states that we don't that are not primary states where we do business.
Right.
So the remote model has helped us acquire talent that is the best talent,
Right.
no matter where they live. But on the other hand, I'm a little old school enough that I worry about the collaboration, the ability
Yeah.
to peep over the cube and ask questions, or for a supervisor to listen and try to provide coaching and training, right? So
Right.
there's there's pros and cons, both for the employee and for the company that I think we'll be working through for years from a remote work standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think there are definitely pros and cons. I mean, I think that, you have a cheaper, arguably cheaper claims model when you're, remote out of office. You don't have all the infrastructure
Right.
costs, but, what's the price of being able to peep over the cube and ask the person next to you the
Right.
question? I mean, I think back to, I learned so much from the guy that sat next to me. Just
Right.
listening to the way he acted on the phone, talked to people. And I mean, it can be good and bad because you pick up a lot of bad habits too,
That's right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I, as a leader of a large claims organization, I see all the benefits for the employee,
Yep.
and for us, right? We get to hire good talent in a lot of remote areas that has enough flexibility that their engagement is high, and that
Yeah.
hopefully provides much better service. We've not seen any of our metrics decline any because of the remote, so we're providing exceptional service. Our Net Promoter Scores are as high or higher than they've been. Before we were remote, our quality scores are great. Our costs are very competitive. So we've not seen any decline there,
Right.
but I worry about the fact that a lot of the folks, we have a high retention rate for our employees, which is great, but that means that we were the same, a lot of the same folks that were going through the pandemic
Right.
knew each other.
Yeah.
So perhaps that collaboration wasn't as critical as it might be for all the new people that we're bringing in who
Right.
don't know each other and won't know each other except over a Zoom call
Yeah.
or that remoteness. So I worry more about the long-term consequences of the remote work than I do about the short-term consequences because of just the relational aspect.
Yeah, no, I think it's important because, the workplace relationships are, just look at ourselves, right? I mean,
Right.
you get to know people over the years. It's hard to do when you're sitting alone in a house in Omaha,
It is. Yeah, and I worry about our folks' mental health. I worry about their, if they are working in the basement or in a not optimal work office,
Right.
on the kitchen table or that sort of thing. You worry about how they keep up with their relationships, how they are communicating, how they're forming a team with the people they're
Right.
working with. So I worry about some of that. I think we have put systems and processes in place that have helped that, but I don't think we've solved it.
Right.
And I'm not sure anybody has at this point, but we're
I
all
don't
kind of
think so.
experimenting and working through things.
Yeah, well, that kind of brings up the topic of AI, right? I mean, so a lot of carriers are really, embracing AI and where it can give you a lift. I mean, are you guys doing anything on that front?
Yeah, we're doing quite a bit with AI. Over the last couple of years, we've moved a lot of experiments to business as usual.
Okay.
So the typical things you might expect, the review of medical records,
Yep.
some of our litigation, like in the construction defect area, reviewing those and helping us summarize things. We're working on some experiments to take recorded calls and turn those into work product notes or
Right.
structured data elements or status notes for the customer or for the agent. So I think the use cases in the claim space are almost limitless and will dramatically change our industry over the next few years.
I agree. I mean, do you see a future where AI becomes so good that it actually replaces adjusters?
I don't, and I'll tell you
Okay.
why. I still think, well, probably for two major aspects. One is the relational aspect.
Yep.
I think our business is highly relationship oriented, and we're dealing with people that have just gone through a major problem.
Right.
So they're going to want, we're going to want to continue to have individuals who can show empathy, who can care for people. In a way that I don't think can be replicated with AI.
Right.
And so while I think it can really enable us with some of the admin or non-core work that can help us have more time for empathy,
Right.
then I don't think it's going to replace it. But the other big factor for me is the critical thinking aspect.
Yeah.
So AI can do a great job of summarizing medical records, but can it make the decision as to what injuries were related to that accident or
Right.
not? Can it relate to what bills or methods of treatment would have been best for that?
Right.
And there's so much judgment there that I think that critical thinking component, whether it's an injury claim or a property claim, because there's no specific definitive answer to those, what's the value, what's the injuries? It all gets down to a jury, and until we can make juries AI,
Right.
it's going to be difficult to have adjusters be replaced because there's not the math
Right.
involved with any specificity. It's not an engineering problem. It's a judgment problem
Right.
and a critical thinking problem. So I think it'll greatly enable us, create efficiencies, hopefully better outcomes, but I don't think it can replace. But I don't think it replace human beings. At least that's what I've told myself.
Well,
So
no, that makes a lot of sense.
it should replace a lot of chief claims officers. But
I mean, I like you.
but the jobs where the real value is, it's going to be hard to
Yeah,
replace.
I do like your idea of AI jurors. Okay,
Yeah.
so you heard about the $500 million verdict out of Orlando.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The guy who was at a bar and
Slipped down the
slipped down
steps
the
and
steps, but
yeah.
is a partial quadriplegic, I guess, on the days he goes to court. I'm not sure how
Right,
that
right,
works,
right.
but
On the other days, he's on his roof.
so
Yeah.
$500 million.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing this though all across the country. I mean, we're seeing these runaway verdicts, these nuclear verdicts. I mean, it was 10 years ago, it was what, 10, 12 counties around the country that were these so-called judicial hellholes.
Yeah.
And now it's seemingly entire states. Georgia's become real problematic, Missouri
Right.
problematic. It's like, what are we going to do to rein this stuff in?
Well, I first, again, maybe it's my natural optimism, but I look at the areas where we do business. So Florida is our second biggest commercial state. We don't write in Missouri, although we do get claims
Right.
in Missouri, which we would agree is a hellhole. And I agree with the challenges in Georgia. But I do think that there are things, when I look at our actual statistics, for example, in our claims area, which is not defining the industry, we've had two nuclear verdicts in the last 12 years that I've been in this job.
Okay.
And one, after many years of appeals and high defense costs, was we ended up paying our limits on, which was
Okay.
much less than the verdict. So
Sure.
I would say the outcome was highly desirable, even if the process to get there was not. So I don't disagree that we're seeing, the statistics do show we're seeing many more high verdicts. But I do think that all in all, what we're seeing is still a pretty high defense verdict rate. We would
Yeah.
define that in our company as being a verdict at or less than our last offer
Okay.
before the trial. We're not seeing more cases go to trial. We are seeing Like I said, a pretty high defense verdict, and that's been pretty consistent. And we've not seen a ton of nuclear verdicts. So while they exist, I think it's in specialized cases or unique situations that we still need to worry about as an industry, and we still have more of a preponderance of the potential for those verdicts. So I think working with our defense firms is absolutely critical, which is, why being at an event like CLM here is so critical. Having those relationships with our defense councils, developing new strategies, developing new ways to collaborate together and really assess that risk is critical. So I think there's more risk, but I think with the right strategies, we can still we can still enable positive outcomes.
No, and that's a really good way to look at it, because I think we hear about the nuclear verdicts, but we don't hear about all the defense verdicts, and there's a lot of them.
There are, yeah. I think if when I scroll through my LinkedIn, some of our law firms here down in Florida routinely get defense verdicts, and they're against the same firms that get the big get the occasional big verdict. I think the big concern is all of those defense wins might be overcast by that one nuclear verdict that, you've had 100 wins and that one could outweigh that. And the other thing we probably don't give enough credibility to is the appeals process and the ultimate settlement. So we hear the initial settlements, but many of those settlements are brought back or after appeals are not fully realized. There's the reality that I don't know what the coverage was in that particular case, that one that just came out that's a record-setting nuclear verdict, but the chances are that may be rolled back, appealed, or the actual amounts paid are going to be substantially less.
Oh, I
I
would,
don't know that,
yeah.
but I suspect that. Again, that doesn't negate any of the challenges we're seeing as an industry. Plaintiff bar is good. They're well collaborated. They're well funded. They are using technology as or more so than the industry is. And I think one of the things that, as an industry, we could do better without violating any antitrust laws is work much better together, the same way the plaintiff bar works together, again, without violating any antitrust issues. We've got to do a much better job of telling our story, of working together to on strategies, technology solutions, data. And looking at things more creatively than we have in the past. We can't put a cookie cutter approach to the way we're the way we've that we typically have defended claims. And we've got to, while we compete against each other, we've got to also find ways where we have things in common that we can fight together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all sharing the same issues. I mean, it's a competitive collaboration. I mean, it's you sit down and talk through the issues, because 10 companies around a table are facing a lot of the same things, and they are probably doing something similarly, but they are probably doing some things differently, and you can learn from one another.
Yeah, and I think just like in Florida, they passed the tort reform back in 23, which was phenomenal, right? And in a state that has a substantial plaintiff bar, Georgia passed one that might be less impactful, but it's still movement in the right direction. So I think there's always going to be this push and pull between, what's the right way to fairly compensate people, but not overdo it? And so that insurance can be affordable for everybody. And we can still have this aura of fairness to coexist together.
Now, I guess, come September, you don't really have to worry about this anymore. So where are we going to find you come October, November, December?
Well, hopefully be spending a lot of time with the grandkids. Hopefully be seeing the world. Wife and I love to travel. We've been to a lot of great areas of the world. And so we'd like to continue to do that. But really, I think for my second career, I'd really like to spend more time working with many of the service organizations that I'm currently involved with,
Okay.
Salvation Army, our food bank up in the Akron Canton area, some ministries as well, and really do the thing that I've done as a career, which is try to help people and try to do it in a way that doesn't necessarily have to require a paycheck.
Yeah,
So
that's awesome, man.
that's the goal, and it is coming into better focus, but I'm not telling you that it's in clear focus. For the first time in our careers,
Yeah.
we are, we're I've got the ability, and those that are in my boat have the ability to kind of shape what that looks like and not necessarily be constrained by the paycheck,
Right.
and kind of shape what that is. But one of the reasons I got into claims in the first sense was to be able to help people,
Right.
and it paid a lot more than social work.
Of course, yeah.
So if I, if I can continue to do that and help take care of people, I feel like I've been incredibly blessed. So if I can, continue to do that and help people, that's what I'm hoping that second chapter looks like.
I think that's great. I mean, we're going to miss you. Obviously wish you the best of luck, and thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been great.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, Chris.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.